This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 6 a.m. on Monday, the 14th of February. I'm Shazana Mokhtar in studio today with Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chen Lee.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Good morning, guys. Guess who's the romantic in the studio then? Clearly you, not me, right? I just think it's a good excuse for people to buy gifts. It's very it's gone very commercial.
Buy gifts now? Oh, it's going to be very expensive. Especially flowers.
Flowers, yeah. Flowers have, of course, today is extra expensive. But if you do celebrate, we do wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
That's right. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. And apart from that, we have a load of interesting lineup of stories for you this morning. Beginning at 7:15, when we dissect Bank Negara's latest statement on Malaysia's fourth quarter GDP and the recovery trajectory of the Malaysian economy. We'll have economist Firdaus Rosli joining us for his analysis.
And at 7:30, we delve into the psyche of protesters who are against anti-COVID-19 mandates in Canada and the political challenges this poses for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government. Dr. Matthew Kirby of the Australian National University will break down this situation for us.
Then at 7:45, we hear from Dr. Kevin Ng, a medical doctor, on reactions to the government's solution to the career woes of the contract medical officers. And at 8:45, we have a BFM special. So do tune in.
All right. All this and more today, Monday, the 14th of February. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. Depeche Mode with Everything Counts. You are listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chen Lee. It is Monday, 14th of February, Valentine's Day in other words. So to mark the occasion, we're going to start the morning with a discussion on how dating has evolved. And Chen Lee, you have the story for us.
If you have been scrolling fruitlessly on dating apps, maybe it's time to rethink your strategy and go for analog format of meetups instead. Mia Levitin of Financial Times wrote about the rise of in-person encounters, but there is one problem. A lot of singles are actually, when they're meeting people in person, they don't have the courage to converse. And why so? You know, because on the dating app, you just swipe left or swipe right. And you only, especially for Tinder, there's a double opt-in feature that allows messaging once both sides have indicated interest. So there's no chance of rejection.
Ah, okay. I think it's more complicated than that. I think it's also because we've lived in this COVID-19 pandemic for the last 2 years, right? So a lot of social skills that we have
forgotten.
We assume we know, but actually we kind of semi-forgotten because it's all about practice, right? And we haven't practiced it for the longest time. So even for myself, making small talk has become a bit of a challenge. And it's not even in a dating scene, even in a corporate scene, because this year, Chinese New Year lunches have kind of restarted, of course, with all the SOPs. And you know what? I forgot to bring my name card. All these things that you used to do automatically, I seem to have forgotten. So I think that's unsurprising that people find it challenging to even meet someone in a informal setting. And what do you say to them? Because like you say, we are used to this swiping left and right.
Well, I would give a little bit contrarian view on this. I think it's more of the pandemic rather than online dating apps that have forced people, that have made people less, I guess, conversant in person, like you mentioned, Xiaoning. Because to be honest, I always thought that online dating, the whole point of it was to meet up in real life later. So it's just one other avenue to meet people whom you wouldn't normally meet in your day-to-day. So personally, I think analog meetups, that has never really gone away. It's always been there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? So you want to meet somebody on the app. So the app is the new form of creating your social circle. So in the past, a friend's friends, you know, you would have met them this way through work, or maybe you had a hobby you like, dragon boat race. My friend met her boyfriend in a dragon boat race when she went for training. So you have all these avenues of meeting people. But of course, another avenue has been created because of all our gadgets, right? Our apps. So that has evolved.
And I think online dating apps are one thing, but you can meet people online in any manner of network, actually. You can meet them on Reddit. You can meet them on Discord. You can meet them on LinkedIn if you want to.
Yeah, LinkedIn. It's true.
But would you guys strike up a conversation easily with these people? I mean, someone that you haven't really met or you don't really know. Would you take the first step to
Hey. On the app or go beyond the app?
When you meet the person, say, if it's a dating event or something, you know, and then
like lunch, actually, right? There are a few in Malaysia, I think, that they operate.
Correct. Or some kind
speed
of
dating.
Speed dating or that kind of thing. Or, you know, you see someone across the table, you're like, this guy looks interesting. Should I make the approach to say hello? Or would you be like, I'm not sure if he's interested in me. What if he rejects me? And, you know, stuff like that.
If it's an event where it's, if it's targeted for singles and dating, then I wouldn't have any qualms because everybody knows that's what the
objective is. The same, right?
The issue comes when it's not a dating event and it's like some other random event or some other social meetup where you don't know, oh, is this person single or not? Oh, I don't know, you know? So that one is more gray, but for dating events, I don't think there are any, there are no gray areas there.
Yeah, but it does require a bit of courage, I think, right? Because by saying the first hello, you ultimately do feel a bit vulnerable and it's not always the easiest. But I say in this time of love, and if COVID hasn't taught us anything, YOLO, guys, YOLO.
Well, tell us what you think. What's the best way to meet people? How do you find dates? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. If you have some time, you might want to check out our recent podcast, The Business of Swipe Left or Right. We spoke to Matthew Martino of Bloomberg Intelligence on the business of online dating. A lot of interesting nuggets of information there on how companies like Match and Bumble are trying to tap into the online dating market. When we come back, we're going to discuss scientific research on attraction, still sticking to this Valentine's Day theme. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Al Green, getting us in the mood for love with I'm Still in Love with You. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. We're sticking to the theme of love and attraction in conjunction with Valentine's Day today. So I see Shaoning with her hand up.
Well, I think Bobby just wants to chime in and give us some very good advice. He said, after COVID, life is too short. Just go for it. And I suppose he means love and dating.
That's encouragement to you out there who want to ask someone out, but you're too shy. No, life too short. Go for it. YOLO, as Shaoning said earlier. So we're discussing now, we're talking about people's standards for their romantic partners. So there is the impression that some people have really high standards and they're super picky. But research, and we're talking, you know, scientific research, suggests that people aren't that picky after all.
Good news, people. For those still looking for a life partner, it may not be that hard after all. The research shows that we human beings are driven by a psychological tendency called progression bias. That makes us tend to stay in a relationship rather than end it. So we're looking at this BBC Love Life article that suggests that people are not as choosy about their partners as they may think. And people are drawn to a much broader range of potential partners than they realize. And they're willing to adjust their standards and overlook potential partners' flaws. They also end up growing quickly attached to these potential mates or potential partners, even if they may not necessarily be their ideal partners.
Oh, this is such a depressing article for Valentine's Day. It just says that we will just date anybody and compromise.
It does sound like, oh, eventually you'll settle.
Yeah. Just pick somebody and then it'll be all right after a while. You won't realize it that the guy is not suitable for you. Is that the point of this article?
It's not so bad.
You want to keep the love flame going, Chen Li.
It's not so bad. It's just saying that you may not be as picky as you think you are. But of course, there is a dark side to this. There are people who tend to stay in a relationship even when they should not.
Oh, I wonder who you're talking about.
No one. So balance is very important here. That's what the article is saying. So don't just settle for anyone. You know, also don't spend your entire life waiting to find that perfect person who ticks all the boxes, but chances are that person may not even exist, you know, those who's really picky. But, you know, you just need to look out for early signs in a relationship that, you know, whether this is going to be a healthy one or a supportive one. I think that's the main keyword here.
I think it's so interesting how love and relationships, you can apply a lot of economic or scientific terms to it. I'm thinking of the term of sunk cost, for example. A lot of people people stay in relationships because they feel like, oh, I've invested so much in this already. I can't let this go, right? You know, so, and then when you're talking about progression bias, it made me think of inertia. You know, when you're kind of like, you're in this momentum already, you don't want to change direction. It will cause too much disruption if you jolt the relationship. So, yeah.
I think it's also another reason maybe why people tend to stay in a relationship and not move away. It could be because they're worried about starting all over again. You have to go through the process of knowing someone and all that. And maybe you're also worried about, what if I don't end up with anyone? And then you'll be like, alone, you know.
You know what, guys? This finding a partner is like buying stocks. Exactly like you. Okay? I can draw so many parallels to fund management.
Do you go for growth or value?
Yeah, do you go for growth or value? Will you end up with a value trap? So you think there's value in this and you hang on to it for dear life. But actually, it's in a structural decline and it will never come back again. But for whatever reason, you just hang on. So those are value traps. And then you think about, you know, this relationship isn't going anywhere. Should I hold or should I sell? But if I sell, will I crystallize my losses? Then I have to start all over again. Can you see all these parallels running through my head now when you talk about love?
I love it.
It's exactly like fund management. So what kind of analysis do you do? Do you do a ROE analysis? Do you look at it in return on equity? Or are you looking at price to book value because you look at him and think, okay, what's his intrinsic value worth? Do I consider that more or do I consider more his growth potential? Is that how we should analyze future partners?
I don't
partners?
Think so.
That is because too technical. I know how to do those valuations, by the way.
That is too technical to find
but
a partner.
I'm thinking life is a bit like that, right? It's a series of choices. And, you know, just like fund management, you may not always get it right. And you may choose badly, choose wrong, but you can always pick yourself up and try and make a better choice later on.
Yep, so that's what the article is saying, progression bias. So you may be choosing someone not as ideal, but you, human being, you tend to live with it.
Okay, then you know what you do? You call this diversification because you reduce your risk, right?
Are you suggesting...
Maybe what I mean in this sense is not maybe, you know, like if this doesn't work, you pick yourself up and then you date somebody else. Diversify in that way, ladies, not like diversify in whatever way you were thinking. That's what I was suggesting.
Okay, so, one after another.
Well, who knows? Maybe you can. You know, it's a free single world out there. True. If you're single, especially. But yeah, all these tips can be learned from fund management.
All right. Well, tell us what you think. You know, what analogies do you prescribe to love and relationships? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin now. And when we come back, we'll cover all the major global headlines of the morning. Taking you to the bulletin, here's Bruce Springsteen with Fire, BFM 89.9. Gin Blossoms with Till I Hear It From You. You're hearing from us, The Morning Run. I'm Shazana with Xiaoning and Chen Li. 6:40 in the morning on Monday, the 14th of February. It's that time of day where we take a look at what's making headlines around the world. Tell me what's caught your eye.
Well, for me, I'm looking at the Singapore Straits Times, right? And they've got a feature on the Filipino election, which is only happening in May. But it's already heating up. And so far, the polls suggest that Ferdinand Marcos Jr., otherwise known as Bongbong, is likely to get into the seat of power because he's got a 44-point lead over Philippine Vice President Lenny Robredo. Now, what's so interesting about this is that he has completely seemed to have sanitized the Marcos name. Right? Because, what, more than 36 years after People Power, the uprising ended his father's rather autocratic rule and his mother's reign of 1,000 shoes, or is it 2,000 shoes, they might come back into power, this family.
That's right. I think that's something that's being keenly watched by international observers. We did have a conversation with Philippines political analyst Andrea Chloe Wong last week. You can look that podcast up. It's all about how Bongbong Marcos has the lead at the moment. He is, of course, running in partnership with the current President Rodrigo Duterte's daughter, Sara Duterte Carpio. She has joined forces with Bongbong Marcos and they're both campaigning to take the top posts.
Yeah, I think that's something we'll be following for many months, actually, till the actual outcome of the elections.
On May 9th. So lots that we can...
Hold your breath, guys.
And alongside, I guess, elections in the Philippines and elsewhere, I think Philippines isn't the only place expecting elections this year. We've got South Korean elections coming up in March. We've got the French elections also coming up later this year. So
we got Johor elections coming up soon.
Not forgetting our own.
And not forgetting our own. So a lot of discussions that are going to take place between now and then. Turning our attention to other headlines, I think what's making news in front of all the international papers is really what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. I think over the weekend, President Biden has warned all U.S. citizens in Ukraine to evacuate within 24 to 48 hours, citing concerns of imminent Russian invasion. Russia has still denied any attempts, any plans to invade Ukraine. But I have to say, the situation appears to be quite tense at the moment.
And they're saying that Russia may invade Ukraine next week. As early as next week.
Which is this week, I presume.
Oh, yes. Today's Monday. Yes, I forgot.
Which is this week. And I think there is an all-out diplomatic effort to cool these tensions. We have the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz heading to Kiev and also Moscow to speak to parties on both sides in efforts to try to come to some kind of agreement. I listened to a fascinating podcast this morning by the Wall Street Journal, and they were discussing the position that Germany is in. Germany at the moment is caught in the middle between the U.S. on one hand and Russia on the other. The U.S., of course, wants to enact harsh sanctions on Russia if they do invade. Germany, however, relies very much on Russia for gas supplies.
Yes. So Germany was stuck in between a rock and a hard place, right?
That's right.
So, because of Nord Stream 2.
Yes.
That U.S. would like them to not be, or maybe they like cut it off or something in that sense, but Germany rely very much on it because they are going to shut down the last three nuclear plants this year, and then they will be completely reliant, not completely, I guess, maybe this will be a major, more like a majority reliant on the gas that's provided through Nord Stream 2. Mm-hmm. So they're really stuck in this situation because they are, you know, on one end they are NATO alliance, and then on the other hand they also have their own agenda. So this is...
It's something to watch.
Yeah, I mean, this is when you're a country, right, and your priority is energy security. And you can't achieve it because basically you don't produce any fossil fuels. You are dependent on your neighbors. But you've also made all these promises with regards to reducing your dependence on nuclear. But yet, at the same time, your renewable energy doesn't provide you enough energy for the moment. And at the moment, maybe it's okay because we're heading into the spring, summer months. But come winter, huh? That's really when the challenge happens.
They're technically still in winter in a way. So
yeah, that's true.
They're not out of the woods yet. But again, this is what's fascinating about geopolitics at the moment.
Which is why Brent crude this morning is $94. It's up 3.31%. It's up 22%. I think a lot of this, if you ask me, at least I'm guessing half of it is due to geopolitical tensions.
Mm-hmm. 6:44 right. In the morning, we are taking a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue with a look at the front pages of the local newspapers and portals. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Fleetwood Mac with You Make Loving Fun. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. We're continuing our look at the news headlines of the morning by flipping through our local newspapers and clicking through the local portals. Tell me what's caught your eye this morning there.
Yeah, I have this piece of news that I'm not really happy about, which is our Women, Family and Community Development Deputy Minister, Dato Siti Zaila, who says that husbands can apply gentle physical touch to discipline their wives. I think this is a little bit not right. And some of the things she said also is the role of husband is to educate their wife and a bit of pressure on her, apply a bit of pressure on her so that he does not, to show that he does not appreciate her behavior. I mean, since when are women a subject of education to husbands? And the other thing she mentioned, of course, which is the physical touch is soft and to seek education is full of love, which is not painful, and to show firmness. I don't understand.
I think Shaz, go for it.
I was going to put into context the deputy minister's comments. This actually came up in an Instagram post, if I'm not mistaken.
She made a video.
There was a 2-minute video where she purported to give advice to couples on how to have
better marriages.
A better marriage, a better relationship, and she gave those comments, which have been rightfully criticized by the public and on social media. Because I agree with you, Chin Lee. The way she describes it is it sounds as if women are second to their husbands in the sense that we must ask them for permission, in the sense that we are supposed to be disciplined by them. No.
And men are smarter than us.
Absolutely not. I do not agree with that kind of perception or impression that it makes. And I think these comments are dangerous coming from a political figure, but from someone who is the deputy minister, that's what makes it even more alarming.
Yeah, I have to say I totally agree. When I saw the post on my social media, I was like, are we living in the dark ages? Are we not in 2020? Well, never mind. Moving on.
We're in 2022.
Oh, sorry, 2022. About the 2 years.
We're beyond that level.
We're beyond 2020.
But yes, this isn't the first time that the deputy minister has made comments which have worried just human rights.
Well, wasn't there another minister who told us to, you know, have this Doraemon voice when we talk to our husbands also?
Yes, there was that.
2 years ago, I think.
That was in 2020.
Yes.
So a lot of worrying comments coming out from the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. And the fact that they're talking about these things when there are other much more pressing issues to be worried about. I think the Malay Mail carries a front page story on their website about the rise in teenage pregnancies and how and what needs to be done in order to help teenagers traverse that very tumultuous period in between young adulthood and full adulthood. Talking about more sex education or at least giving young people the tools to be able to manage their sexual health better.
Or even just trying to get women back on their feet after 2 years of the pandemic, right? Because we know many studies show that women have paid the greatest price when it comes to COVID-19. They are the ones staying at home, looking after the children, looking after the elderly. And as a result, they have paid an economic price. So if anything, the priorities of the Ministry of Women should be about helping women, you know, looking at all the gaps, whether it is social security, whether it's childcare, healthcare, those are the priorities. Giving advice in terms of how to have a happy relationship in such a way, I think, is a bit
out of context.
Yeah, it's definitely tone deaf and just not. No.
But let me shift to The Edge. Okay, The Edge Weekly. As you all know, I like the column, frankly speaking. And in that column, which is on page 4 of the weekly, it says Pharma Niaga should set the record straight because they cited a study conducted by Yale University noting that 2 doses of the Sinovac vaccine with Pfizer dose was less effective and produced a lower immune response. This was immediately put down by the Ministry of Health, who said, no. Most studies show otherwise. It is better to mix vaccines, especially when it comes to the booster shot. So The Edge says one thing, but in their own daily, The Edge Daily, and this is actually on Thursday, February 10, CEO Morning Brief, the headline says, combination of Sinovac and Pfizer proven less effective to fight Omicron, says Pharma Niaga. That's the exact headline. So a bit of a confusion there.
A bit of confusion. And most definitely, I think the results of that study were misrepresented by some parties. I think it wasn't really like to like. They weren't exactly looking at the same amount of shots between Pfizer and Sinovac. And in fact, I think most experts believe that Sinovac recipients may need an additional booster shot.
Well, they were the first to be offered the booster shot, right, when it was rolled out. The program was rolled out in December. So much so that the Ministry of Health's Institute for Clinical Research said on Thursday itself, the prevailing facts and evidence are misrepresented. So putting, it doesn't help because, you know, in terms of the booster vaccination rate, it's not as high as it ideally should be. So I think we shouldn't add to any confusion here.
That's right. I think the important part is to make sure that everybody goes for their booster jab and really try not to pit different, you know, just different thoughts against each other. In any case, related to the COVID-19 situation, there is a headline today about how Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin is fining some senior politicians for attending an event in Johor, which showed jam-packed people in a crowded place. So Khairi Jamaluddin is fining Defence Minister Dato' Sri Hishamuddin Hussein. He's also fining the Johor Menteri Besar Dato' Hasni Muhammad and also the MIC president, Dato' S. Vigneswaran, for their involvement in this event. So that's a good indication. that they are taking this seriously. But I would also say that it can't just be this one-off situation, because we've seen many other events where other politicians have attended really crowded gatherings.
I mean, Hisham Udin actually said that he was in immediate response. That's our defense minister, said that he was only there as a guest, but was prepared to accept the consequences. And at least he says a wrong is a wrong. No one is above the law. This should be a lesson for us all. This is what he said on Twitter.
Okay. Well, it's 6:57 in the morning. We are heading into the 7 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll take a look at how markets closed on Friday. Taking you to the bulletin is Boz Skaggs with What Can I Say? BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.